Life is 10% what happens to us and 90% how we respond to it. The right mindset is what separates most successful people from the average person. Changing your mindset can be one of the most valuable skills you can learn to help you create your own kick-ass life. Well, we want to help you begin that process today and give you a free copy of David Wood's training, Mindset, Your Key to Success. In this downloadable training, you'll learn how to develop a winner's mindset, how to overcome limiting and negative beliefs, how to love the word no, and much, much more. To download your free training, simply go to thekickasslife.com/free. That's thekickasslife.com/FREE.
Hi, this is Tim Ferriss, author of The 4-Hour Workweek, The 4-Hour Body, and The 4-Hour Chef, and you're listening to David Wood on The Kick-Ass Life Show.
Want to make your life better? This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Hey, and welcome to the show, the Kick-Ass Life Show. And this is a special Thursday show because I have a guest with me. And you know, on Thursdays, I'm normally riding solo. But you know what? I decided that it's time to have a little chat with someone who's looking behind the curtain. It's like the great Wizard of Oz behind the magic curtain. He pulls all the triggers and does all this work, and we rarely hear from him. So have a little chat with him in a minute. But what am I up to? Well, you can hear by my voice, I'm either drunk or I'm training. Actually, I'm training. This is why my raspy voice is raspy, because I've been on stage all day today. And, I'm running a program that I'm very passionate about, Powerful Presentations. I think on the last show you heard, driving in a car down toward the show. It's just been an amazing day. I can't believe it. We've had people in from Australia. Someone flew in from Australia. We've had people flying from Shanghai in China, from Maui in Hawaii. We've got someone in from the Caribbean. I mean, people come from all over, Canada, the United States. It's just been awesome to have so many people who travel internationally to come to a program. So feeling very glowy right now and, a little bit after a long day on stage, feeling very grateful that people enjoy the work and love the work and follow the work. So with that being said, I think it's time to sit back and relax and enjoy my chat with very talented and wonderful Michael O'Neill. Michael, are you there?
I am here.
Wow. What are you doing? Were you sleeping on the girls there? What's going on?
No, I had it on mute for a second. I was waiting for the part where you said you were so excited about this guest. So I'll wait if you want to go that route.
Well, the thing is, when you've got the producer on the show, you know, you've got to come up with something different. Otherwise, you know, I got to keep you on your toes and keep you, like, you know, twiddling those knobs. So, hey, listen, Michael, before we start, I want to thank you for all the work. I mean, it's over a year now. And, this is it's been an interesting and fun-filled and passion-filled year with lots of amazing guests and lots of fun, lots of learnings, lots of travel. And how you feel about everything?
Well, it's so interesting because I literally specifically remember the phone call that we had. I remember right where I was, and we were talking about, from what I remember, we were talking about your YouTube videos. And I remember thinking, God, we should really grow. You know, David is such an amazing speaker, but the world doesn't really know about him yet. I want to get like worldwide recognition. And it was like, well, what about a podcast? And that's how this whole thing started. And, you know, over a year later, and I think, what are we at, 160 shows and just an incredible amount of success. And I'm so grateful to be a part of it. And it's really, really exciting to be able to impact lives like we are.
Well, you know, it's certainly a great medium. I mean, I think that when you look at 167 countries and you talk about, you know, I often think about people in countries where their freedom is not as something that we enjoy in the Western world, yet they still find a way to listen into a show like this, which is, you know, really pushing the boundaries of personal discovery and you know, the concepts of sort of stepping into a greater life. And I often think about those people that are trapped and limited by, you know, the regime they live under or the government that controls their world. And I just think how lucky we are here, but how brave they are there to really, you know, sort of tap into this and want something more, because it's you know, it's a very it's a different mindset when we say, you know, listen, we can have it all, right? And that's what we both believe, is that you can't have it all.
I agree, and the other part that I think we shouldn't overlook is that you're an animal. you always find a way, with the exception of, you know, being in Africa and completely off the grid, but you always find a way to get a show online, and I think everyone should know about that kind of perseverance and that kind of commitment and dedication to your work. So if anybody ever has a chance to see you live and doing what you're doing, it's an amazing transformational experience. In fact, I was at that event you're doing now. I was there last year, and it was amazing and uncomfortable at times, and really had so many breakthroughs, and it was really really eye-opening.
Well, you know, it's I must admit that Africa thing was interesting, because I took a new technology with me, which we've actually got a wife fallen in love with now since I got home, and we have a sort of regular connection. But I've recorded so many shows now with my phone. In fact, the last show I was, you know, driving a car. This is hilarious. So I'm driving through Phoenix, recording the show with Jen giving me directions. And this is what you mean by commitment, is that, you know, I know I'm going to be on stage and I have no bandwidth. So I know that if I'm going to record it, I have to record it on the drive from the hotel to, you know, to the next hotel where I'm doing my event. And I'm recording it on my telephone, and I have it uploaded onto Dropbox, so you grab hold of it and then give it some little polish and a couple of brush strokes, and suddenly it's up live. And I'm just walking on stage as this thing's going live. And I think that's the beauty of technology, and it's something that, you know, when I first started, I had two left thumbs when it came to technology.
Yeah, that was a pretty interesting It was a pretty interesting, you know, initial learning curve, but it would be a learning curve for anybody. That app you're talking about, the one that we use for this remote stuff, is called Boss Jock, BossJock. And it's interesting because it was created by, you know, we use Libsyn, Liberated Syndication, for our downloads, and it was created by the co-founder of Libsyn, a guy named Dave Mansueto. And I ran into him at an event, and we started chatting, and he said, oh, you should try my new little app. And now it's become this integral part of, you know, remote recording for the show. So it's been awesome.
It's funny. I was talking to a guy the other day. I didn't tell you this. I was talking to a guy that actually is the brainchild behind a very, very large podcast, brand. And I actually showed him Al Libsyn back office account, where you could see all of the data and details, and, you know, where you could see every download in every city, and you can sort of really look at the analytics and, you know, the countries. And I saw his eyes boggling, you know. And there's this guy who he looks at our downloads per day, and his mouth almost dropped open, because it's like, oh my goodness, we don't even get that in a month right now. Yeah, he's got a very, very big brand. And just really hasn't grabbed hold of it. So what I gave him actually your number, I asked him to give you a call. But when I showed him this mobile, you know, thing that I used on my telephone that morning, right? Again, he was very, very surprised, because, you know, I suppose there's some secrets here, and that's what you've really brought to the table, is this understanding and this passion. And I think your passion, though, came for the whole podcast thing, was born in the fact you love actually listening. I mean, you listen to podcasts every single day, right?
I actually started listening to podcasts in 2006 with Ricky Gervais. The Ricky Gervais podcast was, and then also Twit, which is This Week in Tech. But the Ricky Gervais show was so funny, and Ricky Gervais is the founder and the writer of The Office, the show The Office. And they really broke a lot of ground and set all of these records for downloads. And this is when, I mean, a lot of people who know what, you know, what's going on will say podcasting is still in its infancy. And I believe that. I believe that we're still at a very early stage. especially for the kind of work that you do, because not very many people in your space, for better or for worse, they're not very tech savvy. So unless they have someone that is, you know, willing to show them and kind of show them along with what they can do and the kind of exposure they can get to the world, they probably won't do it. And they'll follow that pretty traditional business model. But yeah, I've been listening to podcasts for years and years and years. And this was a really fun, natural fit. I'm a podcast enthusiast, as they say.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because I don't really listen to many other podcasts. I just don't have the bandwidth. Although when I'm riding my bike now and I'm avid, you know, road rider, I started listening to some of the other podcasts. And, you know, it's interesting listening to other people because, you know, I obviously as a trainer of trainers, I'm very, you know, I don't listen to my own shows very often, but I'm very aware of the connection or the authentic connection that I'm always trying to look for. Like even this, you know, having a real chat with someone as if the world is not really listening in, but really having a chat so the world can sort of, you know, sort of be a voyeur in a real conversation as opposed to trying to produce a conversation for the world to hear, right? And I think it's a very different, there's a subtle difference, and you must hear that with people that, you know, they have a shtick or they have a, you know, a way of being that, you know, they feel is really their brand. And if you listen to them off the mic, you know, they're kind of a different person. I mean, you must have got that with a number of these podcasts, right?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that is, I think, lost on a lot of people is, I don't know that it was always like this. We sort of have eased into this, but you are really a fantastic interviewer. You actually listen to the answers of what the people say, and then you dig in and kind of go a different direction. A lot of times, the other hosts of shows that I listen to, huge shows that get hundreds of thousands of downloads every day, don't do that. They'll either talk over their guest. They'll do that thing. You talked about it once. I can't remember what show number it was, but where someone will talk about a subject that you know a lot about. Like, let's say somebody else talks about training, and often you'll resist the urge to jump in and tell the world what you know. You kind of let the guest tell the world what they know without kind of stepping on that and being, oh yeah, when I do this, well, you know what I mean? There's a lot of being willing to.
Well, you know, it's easy for the ego to kick in. I hear my own ego jump in sometimes where I want the world to know I know something, right? Because that's what it's about,
right,
in that kind of medium. And I want everyone who's listening in to know that you and I haven't talked about what we're talking about. So it's not like I'm asking you to give the show a pat on the back, even though you're a producer. I think you're a pretty critical ear. I mean, and certainly, you know, have a deep understanding of what works. And that's obviously shows up in our ratings. That, you know, we're often number one, but certainly always in the top 20, or we appear to be, and very, very often in the top 10. And, you know, we're a show that really hasn't done a lot of promoting either. You know, we rely a little bit on people giving word of mouth. And that was a bit of a decision that we made, which was really not to over push it in the beginning and allow ourselves to get stable before we start making big promises. But I do feel that this is a show that's going to live a long life and won't tire, because, you know, when you live, I think, interesting lives, there's always new material. It's not like, and I think a lot of people struggle with that, is finding material for a show, because the material is, you know, the content or the data for a lot of people becomes the sort of the catalyst of why they can move forward. And I think this show really seems to sort of have a sort of a mind of its own in some ways. It seems to sort of just be maturing along its own kind of theme, right?
Yeah, and I think that I remember when we first talked about what we were going to do, and we talked about ordinary people doing extraordinary things, people that were approachable, and or, you know, a lot of people love to hear about your life, because I think everyone wants to see behind the veil of someone who's successful and find out, well, what are you eating? Like, what's your workout look like? And what kind of car are you driving? Like, what do I need to do to make my life like yours? Even on like a small practical side, you know, oh, you have someone who comes and cleans your house, or should I do that myself? You know, just things, how people think about money.
Never. Don't clean your house. That's a crazy thing.
Actually, I tell you, before my mom passed away, one of the most important pieces of advice she ever gave me, and I never paid any attention to until I moved to San Diego, was get a cleaning lady. And I was like, whatever, I can clean my house myself. And when I'm on my phone, I pace around and I clean stuff anyway. But oh man, when you have an actual cleaning lady that comes in and does things that you probably won't do regularly, it's the best thing in the world. You feel like Donald Trump.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's all about your mom passing away. This is an interesting part of your story, which I find fascinating. You lost your parents both within a very short space of time. So you're kind of suddenly out there in the world and sort of like your family sort of disappears quite quickly. And there's a couple of things you've done. Obviously, I'm fascinated by the impact that had, but then the way that you honor their ashes, it's pretty unique. And in fact, it's inspired Jen to want her ashes painted into a painting, believe it or not. That's what she wants done with it, is and then the painting by someone who's really an artist, so that the painting can live on with her ashes in. Why don't you talk a little bit about what you went through, and then what you did with those ashes, that I find really fascinating.
My dad he grew up in the South, and you know, he had pork fat ruled. So you know, he ended up getting congestive heart failure, and about a month before he passed away from that, my mom got a cold and never recovered. I mean, 7 months later, she died of a rare kidney disorder. And at the time, I've been a web guy for 18 years, and at the time, I was the creative director at a Fortune 500 company, and it was like a good gig. It was a six-figure gig. I owned a house in Boulder, Colorado, and you know, had a couple of cars, had the American dream, I guess. And I ended up losing everything because my life was, you know, mom falls and breaks her hip, needs 24 days of rehab, insurance pays for 10, it's $2,000 a day, you know? And so I ended up losing everything I had ever saved or earned or whatever. I lost the house and the cars and the whole bit. And I tried to muddle through 2008 without a lot of success. And one of my goals as a quote unquote successful adult was, I always wanted, my dad was the kind of guy that would drive across country in a Winnebago, but wouldn't jump on a flight to Paris for 6 hours. So I always wanted to surprise them with a trip to Ireland or to Europe. And then when they passed away, I couldn't really do that. That wasn't a thing I could do. And I was in 2008, I was in such survival mode. I was just trying to save whatever I had left, and which wasn't much at the time. And I remember I'd met this guy that was really, really successful, really, really successful. And I wanted to do some work for him. And he said, you know, Michael, I really want to work with you, but you've had so much chaos in your life that you haven't even had a chance to mourn. And that was the first time, David, it even dawned on me that my dad died and then, oh, yeah, my mom died. Like, I literally had been in such survival mode that I couldn't, it was almost like that first scene of Saving Private Ryan where they're just trying to survive. And I finally had a chance to sort of think about it, and I broke down and cried on this guy's couch. And right at that moment, I said, I'm going to do it anyway. So I got a little Italian Parmesan cheese shaker, and I got their ashes, and I put their ashes in it, and I took them to Europe for 4 months. They're on the beaches of Normandy. They're in the Sistine Chapel. And like sometimes I had to go a little, you know, Shawshank Redemption when I spread the ashes in the Sistine Chapel, because you're not allowed to do such things. So I had to kind of sneak it. But when I came back on my connecting flight from Brussels to, I landed in Washington, D.C. on the way back to Denver, I had $14. And not like I better go hit the ATM, but I had $14. And my brother picked me up from the airport, and I was sitting on his guest bed, and it was like the end of the movie The Princess Bride, where, if you've ever seen it, Inigo Montoya, who's going out to avenge his father's death, finally catches the six-fingered man, and he kills him. And he's the guy that's like, my name is Inigo Montoya, you killed my father, prepare to die. And his buddy says, well, what are you going to do now? And Inigo says, you know, I don't know. I've been in the revenge business my whole life. And that's kind of how I felt, which was I knew I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I knew what I didn't want to do is work a dollar for an hour anymore. I paid tribute to my parents in Europe. I was in the process of restoring a 69 Porsche 911, and I mixed their ashes into the primer so that they'd always be around me and they'd keep me safe while I was, you know, driving or racing. And it was a month later that I really had decided to commit to passive income, the stuff you always talk about in every single show, passive income, residual income. I had read what I consider to be the five books that every entrepreneur should read, which is Rich Dad, Poor Dad, The Cashflow Quadrant, The 4-Hour Work Week, The E-Myth Revisited, and then Strengths Finder 2.0. And then you and I met about a month later at the same company where we were working.
That's awesome. And, you know, I looked at the Porsche 11 that I was so excited about with Jen having the sort of painting done with the ashes involved. That's where that all came from. So that's it's interesting that she wants that in her will. So, but you know, that's you know, the $14, the idea that you're stepping into a whole new mindset around creating wealth. And obviously, you know, when you're starting out with nothing, it's very, very easy to get into that sort of poverty mindset. And you know, sort of elevating yourself out of that and sort of surrounding yourself with some positive influences. I mean, I know it can be a struggle, especially in the United States, is a place where, you know, there's that sort of that sense sometimes that you can make friends very, very quickly, but the next day you can't find them anywhere. Did you feel that sometimes?
Yeah, I still do, and to an extent. I think that it can be very difficult. I think the world has become a little more cynical, and it's more difficult to connect with people because I think everyone's selling something, everyone's doing something, everyone's kind of out for themselves in a lot of ways. What I did find for me, one of the hardest things about losing my parents was when something great would happen, I couldn't make the phone call. There was no phone call. And that actually became a very bittersweet piece of success for me because I had committed one thing about what I did or what I'm doing, I should say, is I committed to the lifestyle. I was, and you and I have even argued about this. And I said, I want to build this life. Time freedom is just as important as financial freedom. So the fact that I get to throw a Frisbee to my dog into the ocean while I'm on a call for work is important to me. Like it feeds my soul. And I guess my mindset on what you were just referring to is, I think if I can keep my head down and I can hustle, the right friends will always be there, and the right people will surround you. I take a few things that you say very, very seriously, which is you're the sum of the five people you spend the most time with. And, you know, if you want to become successful, surround yourself with successful people. That's something that Les Brown said on our show, and it could not be more true. That sort of osmosis of success that happens when you surround yourself with successful people. You know, there's a reason why I pick the ritziest areas in, you know, what was Denver and is now San Diego to put my laptop down for a happy hour. You know, I'll go to a really high-end bar and put my laptop on the counter, and inevitably, I'm going to start having conversations with really successful people, just because that's what you do when you want to be working with successful people, is you go where they are, you know? So that's what I'm trying to do, is build a community of people that are positive and are of a similar mindset and really try to make the right decisions in life that are positive for not only themselves, but for the community.
Hmm. So in that journey, is there anything, before we move on, I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the work you're doing. So I think it's fascinating for a lot of people who are, you know, attempting to have more of a global presence from their living room, right? But have there been any other big lessons for you, maybe some of the things you've done that you probably wouldn't do again along that journey, especially when you're sort of like, you know, you're sometimes you're hitting rock bottom and, you know, you're in survival mode and you're in that place where, you know, you're never sure what's going to happen in a week from now, let alone by the end of the month. So, you know, your sort of week to week, day to day type of situation. Is there stuff you've learned on those over these last couple of years, or well, actually not maybe the last two, but maybe the years before that, that you say, you know what, if I was doing it all over again, I would be more aware of this or that? Or
yeah, I think there's a lot of things that can contribute to people's mindset, and for me, it's been partially where I'm from. I mean, I came from Philadelphia. There's certainly an edge to East Coast people, and certainly in Philadelphia, you can insult someone's mom in Philly, and somehow it's a compliment. That doesn't play everywhere else in the world.
That sounds like England. In England, you have to insult someone's mom.
Right.
Compliment.
Right. Exactly. So that doesn't play everywhere. That kind of vibe. And the other part is that I think when you're hyper passionate, and I am, I'm a musician, and I do a lot of stuff that's very passionate. That it can be, I can feel like a caged animal sometimes. If somebody comes at me, and I'm a Scorpio, which means that we typically know how to say the exact thing to blow up a conversation if we want to. And for a good period of time, I didn't have a lot of filter on that. I would just be like, fine, boom, and I'm moving on. Like that would be it. Probably not the best way.
Are we talking edgy prick here? Is that what we're talking?
Yes, exactly. Like I.
Hey, I just want to realize you're the very first person in 160 shows that refer to your star sign. I can't believe it. No one else has done that except you, Michael O'Neill.
How funny is that?
Scorpio. That's really hilarious because, you know, that's awesome.
Well, from one edgy prick to another, we have a tendency to make a, you know, I feel like sometimes I make a very quick decision about someone's intentions and then I move on, you know? It's like, and that's not always the case. I've been a lot better, not only through just being around people, but certainly conversations with you, at giving things more of a chance, and probably, you know, trying to be a little more diplomatic about how I approach certain relationships, because relationships really are the key. If you had to make me identify one thing, it's relationships, and that's what I try to tie into a very technical, for a lot of people, a very technical piece of marketing, which is what I do a lot of, and I really try to focus on relationships with it.
Let's talk about that. Why don't you go in? I know you've got the whole sort of social media world, and you know, I know the podcast is one bow to your string, or one string to your bow. But why don't you talk a little bit about what you're doing, and maybe give some tips away that people who are interested in having more success in this domain? Why don't you talk a little bit about share what you're up to?
Okay. Well, when I decided to commit to passive income, I ended up getting into something you talk about a lot, which is a network marketing company. And because I had a techie kind of background, one of the things I knew I wasn't going to be great at is going through a Rolodex and calling people. But I knew a lot about social media already, even though at the time it was fairly new. It wasn't quite as ubiquitous as it is now. But I did know a lot about it, and I ended up having a good amount of success connecting with new people in my business. And I decided to take that knowledge and teach it, because I loved, you know, I think once you get the training bug and once you see some aha moments, and you probably can attest to this, it's really hard to get away from it. You know, once someone gives you a chance to say, hey, can you share a little bit about what you know? And then you see those people that are like, oh, I didn't realize that. And they get so excited. And then you see their success. It's, for me, it was really the perfect combination of my history, which was like, you know, I love stand-up comedy. I love, you know, speaking, and that I study how speakers talk. And then I also, you know, I love the technical side. And then I was a musician in a, you know, probably a bit of a built-in show-off. So being on stage was it wasn't that scary for me. I know for some people it's like, you know, I know you say a lot, it's the they'd rather, you know, be in the casket than give the eulogy, Jerry Seinfeld bit. But for me, that was never an issue. And so it was just a matter of kind of putting it together in a really practical way for people to be able to learn from it. And I've put together a training course for people that are solopreneurs or people that have small businesses, basically any time where you are the business. When someone hires you, they're really getting you. So it could be anybody in real estate. It could be personal trainers or athletes. Certainly everybody in network marketing. Anybody that's like a celebrity or a speaker or anything like that. All of these tips translate to those kinds of things. And the goal is, you know, it's funny. Something you say about being be interested, not interesting, reminds me of one of the things I like to say, which is you don't want to tell them what you do. You want them to discover what you do. That's one of the keys of social media. And the best way to illustrate that is, have you ever seen the movie When Harry Met Sally?
Yep.
So there's that famous diner scene where Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal, and Billy Crystal says, well, I can always tell if a woman fakes it. And then Meg Ryan gives this Academy Award winning display in the diner. Do you happen to remember the next thing that happens in that scene?
Well, the woman looks over and says, I won't when she's drinking or whatever. Was
yes,
that one?
Exactly. So the way to have social media success, whether you're in network marketing or an athlete or whatever, is I'll have what he's having. I'll have what she's having. So it's not to tell everybody, you know, buy this, do this. It is to show them what your life looks like when you're doing that. So when you show them how much of a kick-ass life you have, everybody wants a kick-ass life. Does that make sense? Versus you coming out and saying, you need a kick-ass life. You should try this because this is what happens. And people get turned off by that. But when you show them, well, I'm on a helicopter in Australia, now I'm in Bali, and now I'm doing a training down here, there's thousands of people that go, I could get used to that. That's a thing I could do. I could like that view, right? So that inspires them to want a kick-ass life. And so these, I've got 10 Facebook tips that I like to tell my students, you know, if I come out and do a little training for someone's company or whatever. These are 10 things that I like to tell people to do on Facebook.
You realize you can't see this now. I'm going to force you to tell me all 10 of them.
Well, I will.
10 tips coming your way, ladies and gentlemen.
These are 10 tips. And by the way, you don't have to write these down because as the producer, I can say they're going to be in the show notes. Don't worry. I will.
He tells me to say that every show, and I always forget to say that. Look at the show notes. Now look at you showing off.
If you're on a treadmill, if you're walking your dog, and I give you these tips, they're going to be on the show notes, which is going to be, let's see, let's pick it right now. thekickasslife.com/, let's pick a, we have to pick a URL for this. We'll just, I don't want to use my name because my last name is too hard to spell for people. So let's just do Mike. We'll do thekickasslife.com/Mike, and that'll take you to the page that has the show notes. All right. All right. So Facebook tip number one, accept everyone. So Robert Kiyosaki in The Business of the 21st Century talks about your success, your financial success being directly related to the size of your network. So the bigger you can grow your network, whether it's on Facebook or on Twitter, the more influence that you'll have. So the thing that people do is people get, you know, freaked out by it, especially women. But women have to remember, people are innocent until proven creepy. Give them a minute. Give them a minute to do something bad. Because you know how hard it is? Someone has gone out of their way to reach out and say, oh, I found this person interesting. I'm going to connect with them. I want to friend them. So they've gone through multiple clicks and a thought process to want to become your friend. Let them become your friend. Let them see what you're doing. Let them see what your Facebook page looks like because I'll have what he's having. You want everyone to have a chance to see your page. If they do something wrong or if they are creepy or do something, just you can get rid of them then. But you never know that person's not going to be the next millionaire in your company, the next super client, the next person that makes or breaks or opens doors for you. You have no idea. So don't sit there with 100 people in your Facebook queue. Take everyone and say hello to them. Number two, fill out your bio section thoroughly. So now I've got this brand new person that's just found me on Facebook. What's going to happen if they click on my page and they don't see anything about me? They see no story. They see no background. It's like my famous story where you go to a restaurant and there's just a wooden table sitting in the middle, hardwood floors, nothing on the walls, no music, no ambiance. Would that be a place you wanted to eat? Of course not. So fill out your bio. Tell your story. Tell people where you came from, because as you always say, it takes 5 connecting points to establish rapport. So what I want to do is I always want to find those 5 connecting points within your Facebook bio. I want someone to see who you are and go, oh, wow, I'm from Toledo, or I used to ride mountain bikes, or, oh, I'm a nurse. Because no matter what you're doing or what you're selling or how you want to, you know, portray yourself, people like people that are like themselves, and they work with people they like. So if you can give them connecting points, ultimately they're going to go, wow, there's something I like about this person. I want to know more about them. Then they're going to see all of your I'll have what he's having, I'll have what she's having posts. And they're going to say, tell me more about your training business. Or tell me more, my friend's looking for a house. Is that something you can help him with? Or tell me more about your product. You know, that's how sales actually work. Not buy this, do this. So fill out your bio section thoroughly is tip number 2. Number 3, adjust your privacy settings. Sometimes when people connect with you out in the world and you say, yeah, find me on Facebook or here's my card or whatever, and they go to connect with you on Facebook, you're so locked down. They don't see any info. They don't see a picture. They don't see any way to connect with you. If you're trying to run a business and you've grown your network and you've met people at a networking event, why would you not let them see at least as much as on a business card? You want to give them some access. If you're worried about your privacy, set up a Gmail account, a separate Gmail phone number. You can do a Google Voice phone number that's free, and you can do your own Gmail address. Give that away as a card, but let them see a picture.
Michael, before you carry on, I mean, I just, because again, I'm not this guy that's worried about anyone. Like, I don't get into this whole, I mean, I don't even lock my freaking doors, but you know, this whole idea of this fear of creepiness, when you have the ability to yank people out, what is the real fear there? I mean, is it the fear that they're going to see where you live and come down and steal your bunny rabbit? Or, I mean, what is the real fear?
I think it is. You know, a lot of the fear stems from a lack of knowledge about how Facebook privacy works. Because people don't realize that they can set very specific things up so people can see or not see certain things. So they just don't do it. So they just, instead of setting it a certain way, yeah, I think, you know, in this world of identity theft, I think that that is a legitimate concern. I think you get a pretty woman who obviously has had some, you know, some incidents her whole life. You've got people going through divorce that don't want to be found by the lawyer. I mean, I've heard all these stories of why people don't want to be found on Facebook. And my best advice is just adjust it as much as you're comfortable with. If you're truly not comfortable putting it all out there, then don't. But on the same token, don't expect a lot of people to come out of the blue and connect with you. And I was at a point where I was enrolling a person a week in my business, mostly because I was wide open, but I didn't have a lot of those same concerns. So you've got to do it and use your common sense, but also take the time. You can always Google exactly how to adjust your privacy settings on Facebook, and then it'll show you specifically, granularly. You can show and hide pictures. If you don't want to show your family that Vegas trip, Dave, then you don't have to. You can completely hide that from the rest of the world. You know, you following me? You there?
Awesome.
You with me?
Yeah, I'm following you. Yeah.
Okay.
I just put it on mute there a second because I had some background noise. But tell me, carry on with the tips. These tips are great.
All right, number 4, don't play games. I just made a little image the other day that said, hey, I'm building my empire over here. I don't care what you need for Farmville. It doesn't matter. If you have time to play a game, you have time to go to YouTube and either do something that'll like influence your life, you know, go to a TED Talk and watch something cool, or find out something about, you know, share some cool content on your wall. When you are playing games and you're posting them to Facebook, here's what happens. When you have someone who's super successful, Let's say that I'm trying to attract David Wood as my new personal training client. Or better yet, I'm trying to sell David a new home that costs like $10 million. You think when David Wood goes to my Facebook page and he sees that I need a bunch of whatever for Vampire Wars, that he wants to work with me? It would be the last thing that somebody of influence and power wants to see on your wall. So even if you're bored, and even if you've got...
Can I be honest about that?
Yeah,
John, if it happens to me, if somebody starts posting that kind of stuff on my wall, I just delete them. I have no time for that, because it irks me that they, because I mean, often you get three or four of them from the same person. And but the other thing that you can go in there and you can actually, and that's what I have to do. I actually put in, because I kept getting Farmville things coming through. This is when I first started up, but I could put some kind of setting in that to stop that from happening. And it doesn't really happen at any time, you know, on my wall. It doesn't happen at all anymore. It rarely, rarely happens. But when it does, if someone starts posting that, I just delete them because I'm thinking I don't have time for that.
Right. And you can actually block not only the person, but you can block all invites from that application, which is what you want to do. Like, just weed them out. It'll take you a little while first. Again, if you don't know how to do that, just Google it. How do I block game requests on Facebook? Just Google that. You'll get the idea. You'll see a little video on it, and you can just delete it. But yeah, that's the idea. Number five. So number four is don't play games. Number five is post good status messages with good content. And this is one of the biggest chapters in my training course, because it's the most important. This is your face to the world. This is what the world sees when I say, I'll have what he's having, I'll have what she's having. This is what I'm talking about. What you don't want to be is Debbie Downer. You do not want to be like, oh, I'm stuck in traffic again. Think about this. Think about how you would feel about someone that could be a potential client or someone you might want to work with. And here's two posts. Here's the dichotomy of two posts. The first post says, ugh, I'm stuck in traffic again. I hate this commute, right? That's number one. Versus same commute, same drive, someone that says, I'm so excited that I get 90 minutes to listen to some great personal development CDs or listen to my favorite book. How does that feel to the outside world? So one person is a complete downer. The next person is taking that same opportunity and turning it into something that they can use to build their life and build their business. So post good status messages and good content. Share good content.
Let me jump in there. I have a question about that.
Uh-huh.
So,
yeah.
Debbie Downer, all right, and she just wants to sort of share something that's going on. Are you saying that on Facebook, if you have a negative or something down or, you know, whatever, I mean, is it something you never post, or like say your mom dies or something goes on? Where is the boundaries around what's a downer? Is it just nonsensical stuff that's a downer? If there's something really going on in your life where you want to reach out to your community and let them know? I mean, give us some sort of parameters around that.
Well, I think that it's so funny, because what used to be the case is that there were things you didn't talk about in polite company, politics and religion and that kind of thing. And now everybody's walking around with their pants down all over Facebook. So... it's the thing you say when you say try to go 90 days without complaining or blaming, or that's what I'm talking about, is just that's not to say that things don't happen. And sometimes you want support. Sometimes Facebook is fabulous for crowdsourcing support. Man, I just had a breakup. I'm really hurt by it. And you get 40 people that say, you know what, hang in there, you're beautiful, you're smart, blah, blah, blah. And sometimes you just need to get your ego fed like that. But when it's the thing with the Facebook timeline specifically, even by name, by definition, is it is a timeline of someone's life. So each individual post might not mean much, but when someone sees your timeline, it weaves a tapestry of who you are, what your influences are, what your vibe is. And if they click on that and see your vibe as this overtly negative person, it's not going to be someone who's going to want to connect with you on a personal or business level. So don't complain that much. You know, just try to keep it positive. And I always used to say that every post is intentional. Sometimes I do post for very specific reasons, but I rarely just fire a post. In fact, I'm much better about posting than I'm about speaking in person. I rarely just fire from the hip when I say something on Facebook. You know, I'm always trying to keep a certain amount of dignity and I don't know what the right word is here, but that authenticity, which is I want people to, and often I get people to say, man, you're so positive and you're so, I really appreciate what you post. It's good content. I like the feedback you give people, blah, blah, blah.
Awesome. We'll carry on with the tips.
Okay.
Carry on. Let's talk through these tips.
And by the way, I always have a thing where I feel like a like when someone just clicks like. So imagine that you get home, right? You get home and Jen is banging. She's in like a little black dress and she's in some heels and she's got some music on and she's gotten the nails and the hair and the plucking and the waxing and all the everything that the girls do, which we all appreciate, by the way. And you show up at the front door and she's just there and it's complete hubba hubba, right? And you open the door and you walk by her and you give her just like a little head nod and you just keep walking. That's what I think a like is on Facebook. It's the head nod of acknowledgement on Facebook. So someone goes out there and they post this amazing post and someone just clicks like. It's literally the least amount of effort they could have put into acknowledging the quality content you just gave them or the link you just shared. So if you have to like, at least post in a message, hey, that was great. Thanks. Thanks for posting that. That's all. It's like five words that you can say, hey, thanks for doing that. And it weighs so much.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, if they want to get down to one word, they can write awesome or great. I mean, it doesn't even have to be five words, right?
Right.
I mean, obviously
exactly.
You can write a whole sentence, but if you're in a rush, because that's what you're saying. It's a like makes it sound more like they've done it out of obligation rather than interest, right?
And I know there's occasions where someone's like, well, I don't really want to engage, and I totally get that. But I'm just saying don't fall into it. Don't become a likeaholic. Don't just make it so you rarely comment on people's efforts, especially when you're working with them. If it's other people that you're training with or in real estate, comment. You know, wow, that is an amazing house. I love the terrace. You know, the landscaping is unbelievable. Or you're doing such a great job with your clients. They've all lost weight. You know, congratulations. That's real, you know, quantity. That's a good qualitative post that people can latch onto and they feel good about what they posted. So yeah, good status messages and good content. That's what that means. That's number five. Number six is get familiar with Facebook ads. Facebook used to be free, and it's really not that free anymore. People are, now Facebook wants to charge you $7 to get your post promoted to everyone that you're friends with. So now you've gone out all this, you put all this work into becoming friends with this, you know, new group and networking with these people, and now it's really hard to actually connect with them because Facebook has really locked it down and it's, you know, made it so it's kind of a pay to play. And I can't get too deeply into this because it's five shows about how to get into Facebook ads. But just become familiar with them. Again, just Google how to do a Facebook ad. And even if you just do a promoted post on your own personal page, that post will be seen by a lot more people than if you just post it. I think it gets seen by 7 to 15% of the people unless you pay to promote it of your group. So if you have, you know, 100 friends, it's only going to be seen by 7 to 15 of your friends in the news feed unless you pay $7 to promote it. And that number changes a little bit, but it's pretty interesting. Tip number seven is create a private group for your business. So if you're a real estate agent, create a private group for all your clients. If you're in the network marketing business, create a private group for your downline or your upline. If you are in... if you're a personal trainer, create a private group for, and again, Google how to create a private group about with your clients. What that enables you to do is get a lot of third-party validation. It allows you to scale your time, meaning instead of being on three-way calls or talking with clients all day, you can post once to the group and everyone can read it. You can leave little voice memos. And a lot of people don't even know you can do this on Facebook, but using Facebook Messenger, you can leave 60-second voice recordings for huge groups of people. So if you want to train people, hey guys, we're having a webinar at 7 o'clock. You know, here's the dial-in code. Or we're having an open house for all the realtors at 5 o'clock, blah, blah, blah. Whatever it is, you can do that with a Facebook memo, but that's all powered by a private Facebook group where you can share photos, share ideas, and edify each other.
Awesome.
Yeah, tip number 8 is master Facebook lists. One of the things I used to do when I was building my business is I would go to a networking event, and I'd collect a bunch of business cards, and then I'd come home, and with that stack of business cards, I'd start typing the names and the email addresses into Facebook to see if they were on Facebook. Because remember, my Facebook was like the end of my funnel. Once people got to my Facebook page, it was pretty much game over. They were in my universe. I knew exactly how to you know, really capture a sale or certainly capture their interest once they got to my Facebook page. So my goal is always to connect with everybody on Facebook. And I would put all the people in, and then I would make a Facebook list. I would name the list the name of that networking event. So David Woods networking event, where there was 100 people, I got 50 cards, and I would put those 50 people into my David's networking event Facebook list. And what that would do is it would enable me to follow back up with them. Even months later, when I forgot how I became friends with them, I'd be like, oh, that's right. We went to the David Wood networking event. That's how I knew them. So that's what I would do. And always worked great because, you know, they always say the fortune's in the follow-up, no matter what business you're in. And that's how I would use it. I would also make lists for, you know, my local town or friends and family or blah, blah, blah. Tip number 9 is learn to celebrate correctly. Meaning, when you are celebrating the success of one of your clients, you never want to make it into a sales pitch. You always want it from the outside to look like you're a leader, you're edifying this person who's brand new to your business, and that's it. So I'm so excited that my client David just bought this new house. He's going to do an amazing job renovating it. I'm so proud of him. Look at these great pictures. And in that post, I would have tagged you on it. So not only would it go to my Facebook group, but it would go to your Facebook group. And what that happens is from the outside, that shows people, well, I'm a leader. I'm someone who not only supports their team, supports their clients, but is willing to just put it out there and really celebrate. And then it shows your people, wow, I really want to work with that person. That person is someone that is obviously going to support me, no matter if I'm in a weight loss program, I'm in a personal training thing. This person is going to support me, so I want to work with them. The last thing you ever want to do, and I will parachute in, I will do a shoulder roll, and I will slap you on the wrist, if you ever use the phrase, ask me how, or PM me for more info, you're doing it wrong. If you have to say that, think about this.
Well, if they want you to parachute in them, that's what they should do, right?
That's what they should do. They should be like,
ask me how, and Michael's going to come through your window with a parachute roll and tap you on the wrist. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a good way to get you over there.
Because the reason why is when you say the phrase, ask me how, or email me for more info, it negates everything you said prior to that. It turns all of that celebration, all of that leadership, and it turns it into a cheesy sales pitch. Because now people can see right through what you just did. Instead of saying, David, I'm so proud of David. He bought this amazing house on the lake. If I say, I'm so proud of David. He bought this amazing house on the lake. Ask me if if you need a house like this, ask me how. It just takes everything. Oh, really? You didn't actually have, because there's a natural instinct for people to say, well, how did they do that? If I say David just lost 20 pounds in 5 days, I'm so proud of him. He had such a hard time taking off the weight. Now he took off 20 pounds. The natural instinct for people are going to go, well, how did he do that? And then you can say, well, he did it with some coaching and a program that I have him on. And when they say, well, what's the program? You can then private message them with the info. The second you say, ask me how you can do the same thing, they don't care what David did anymore. It doesn't matter. You've just crushed any hope for a sale. And really, that's the part that turns off your friends and family. That whole ask me how and PM me for more info and the constant sales pitch is what makes people go, ugh, I don't want to be involved in this. So that's how to learn to celebrate correctly. And finally, number 10 is be consistent. if I said you could, you got to work out, and you're going to pick one day a month to work out, and you've got to work out for 8 hours, or you can work out for 5 minutes each day, which do you think is going to have more success? It's always going to be the 5 minutes each day. So every morning I wake up, I try to comment and share stuff that I see on everyone's news feeds, and I always, without fail, I mean, very rare exceptions, I say happy birthday to everybody that has a birthday. Because my mentality is, if I do that every single day, that by the end of the year, I will have connected with everyone I was previously friends with. Obviously, new friends, I might not get to them, but it gives me a chance to connect with everyone. I just passed 4,000 friends on Facebook, and it gives me a chance to, and which is, by the way, 1,000 less than you have, David. But it gives me a chance to talk to everybody and say hello. And I always say happy birthday in my own special way, and I suggest that everyone does the same thing, which is not to just say happy birthday, but do it in a funny way or an interesting way. And that's your top 10 awesome. Facebook tips for your business.
Well, that was great. That was lots of value. And I know that there's if somebody wants to get a hold of you and explore this more deeply, because I know that you do, you offer a great program with that. Is there a way they can get a hold of you?
Yeah. I have an online social media course. This thing just scratched the surface, and there's a lot of strategy and a lot of, everything's intentional. So I have a course that people can take that it's 15 chapters and it's a few hours of video. And I really tried to make it really good. I tried to make the video great. And if they want to check it out, I'm offering a big discount for Kick-Ass Life people. So if you guys want to check it out, it's at itsaboutsocial.com/kickass. Again, that'll be in the show notes. itsaboutsocial.com/kickass. It's so funny that I get to be on each side of this right now. I'm really excited. I'm excited because it not only gives them access to the training, but also into a private Facebook group where anybody can ask any question that they have, and I can help them. I can train them one-on-one to really explode their business with social media. And it's my passion. And my goal is to bring the industry together. I never want to see I never want to see people doing it wrong. So, my goal for the next year is to travel a lot and train this for all kinds of different companies and obviously to connect with people with the course and then online.
I know you just did a big speaking gig, actually, and that was very successful. I mean, your percentages were incredibly high. So we know the world needs it and we're looking for it. Social media is becoming a way where we a lot of people are communicating through that way, and it's sort of making the world a lot smaller. So, they can get the special and come and find you. I think that's awesome. I thought the 10 tips were great. And I know it's almost at the top of the hour, right? We should be wrapping this puppy up. But is there anything you want to add? I really love to ask you the last question. So what do you think a kick-ass life is? But what do you think a kick-ass social media life is? How's that?
I should have thought about this. I should have known you were going to do this. I think a kick-ass social media life is understanding that there's always a person on the other side of their computer looking at this. And that ultimately it's about building relationships, just like it is in real life. Success on social media is about building relationships. So I think that if you can build relationships online and you can expand and grow your business in a way that really gives you residual income or that your cup runneth over, that is kick ass. And on the reality, on the regular side, the non-social media side, I think spending time with people that you love and being able to smile and people that you know love you is about as kick-ass as it gets for me. Certainly, everybody wants financial and time freedom, but just being around people that you can feel a real connection and a real love with, I think, is the most kick-ass thing. And I've said this to you in the past, but at this point, like it or not, you're family to me, David. So I want to thank you for all of this. And thank you for the opportunity.
Mm. Well, thank you. It's a great show. And we talk almost every day. And so it's interesting to do a show together. I, I know the value in those 10 tips, you know, and I was thinking with myself and just looking at the ways that, that I sort of myself, I don't always adhere to some of these practices and why they make sense. So thanks for that. And, you know, again, if you're looking to take your social media game and connections, relationships, your business, whether you, you know, whatever type of business it is, you know, check Michael out. It's in the show notes. As now I hear him saying that all the time. I will be saying that much more. And Michael, thank you so much. I'm going to let you go and I just wrap up the show. So thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks you so much. Thank you so much, David. It was awesome. I do appreciate getting on this side of the microphone. And I suppose I'll just let you do your thing and wrap up the show like we always do. So thanks again and give my love to Jen.
I will. Anyway, so yeah, what a it's awesome to you know, to have Michael on the show and to know that he's always there. You know, he's a steady hand behind the wheel, and I can't tell you how many times I've been in a very, very unusual situation trying to get the show up and having to phone Michael in the early hours in the morning or late at night, say, Michael, I need to get the show up. And so it's really great to have that steady hand there. So, but you know, here I am in Phoenix. You hear my raspy old voice. I got another day on stage tomorrow and the next day, training 100 people tomorrow and 460 the day after that. Really is a passion. And, you know, I you know, remember that saying, you know, your wealth can only grow to the extent that you grow yourself. And whatever way you can invest in yourself, I always say that most people, you know, they spend more money on their clothing, their makeup, their aftershave, you know, their, you know, hair transplants, or their haircuts, their shoes, than they ever spend on the inside. And so, you know, when you have a chance to grow, you have a chance to invest in something that's really going to help you, I always suggest it's worth it. You know, even if you take one or two things from each of the trainings you do, whether it's with me or Michael or anybody else, you know, it's just worth, you're worth the investment. So, you know, a friend of mine said the other day, you know, he likes to think of 10% of his income put aside for his own personal journey, for his own personal expansion, for those kinds of things. So, you know, think about that. Think about, you know, what you're doing this next year to invest in yourself, to grow yourself so that you can become the greatest you that you deserve to be and really step into your authentic world. So with that being said, I am about to go and snuggle with Jen, and I will see you all on the other side.
Thanks for listening to The Kick-Ass Life with David Wood. Stay connected on Facebook / The Kick-Ass Life, on Twitter at The Kick-Ass Life, and of course at thekickasslife.com.
That was kick-ass.